I'm excited about this morning, and I'm a little scared of this morning because I have so much stuff. So clear your calendar until 3. No football, none of that. No, we're going to do it in 2 parts, okay? So it's all going to work together and be fine. But let's pray together. Father, we thank you for bringing us together on this gorgeous fall morning. We thank you for this shelter that you've given us, this place where we can lift up your name. We pray that as we sing, Lord, that it would be a joyful noise to you, Lord, that you'd take joy in it as we lift up your name. And we pray as we look to your word that we'd be encouraged there. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you guys, it is spooky season. It's spooky season. It's a season of all things spooky. And so here we are. And I think if aliens are watching us to figure out if there's signs of intelligence, I think we're failing. Say for instance you're walking down the stairs or you're like Ed and Nora and you go into these old church buildings to put in organ speakers and all this and you're climbing up that stairway or that place that hasn't been and or you go through the woods and you walk into a spider web. We all become instant ninjas. Right? I mean, you move in ways that you normally can't move. But during spooky season, we're the same people who will burn down our house if we see a spider downstairs. During spooky season, we hang fake spider webs and giant spiders. I don't get it. I mean, how about this one? Every single weekend of the year, you tell your children if strangers have their trunks open and promise you free candy, you run. You run away. But during spooky season, we say we're having trunk or treat, and we're all going to open our trunks and welcome the little children to come to get their free candy. Because look, it has streamers and little things and it's decorated, so it must be safe. I think those aliens are going, what? I'm like, Oliver, you're a kid. Is any of this confusing to you? I mean, it's gotta be. I'm 60 years old. What are you, 6? So I'm 56 years older than you, and it confuses me when I drive by these houses and all the things that I'm supposed to be scared of the rest of the year are suddenly okay. Yeah, I'm like 54, that's right, thank you. I was told there'd be no math, and she does math a lot of times for a living, so that helps. And what's the deal with the giant skeletons? I mean, those are big. Those are big now. You drive and you see these giant, like, what are they, 12 feet tall? Yeah. They're huge. And they're out on the lawn. Giant skeleton. This would make more sense to me if giants were a problem. Right. If we saw a lot of giants running around. Number one, skeletons have never really scared me because they're like obviously dead. And these are obviously dead giants. So I'm like, okay, great. So this week and next, we're going to talk about facing our own giants, facing our own fears. And so this past week, I saw this video, I'm sure some of you guys saw it. It just is incredible. I want you to watch, it's a princess party. A little girl's princess party. And she's like three years old, and she's a princess, and she's got all her princess friends. Well, her party is crashed by a dragon. And I want you to watch this girl in the blue dress. There she is. Watch. Terror. Wait, I know who I am. I'm a daughter of the king. I'm going after this giant. And look, she tackles him. Did you see the look of terror on her face? Like, and then she takes out her sword and is like, nope, and goes running at the giant. All the other little girls that are standing around are like, I guess this is what we're doing. And they go chasing the dragon too. And they slay the dragon. She's my hero. I want to be like her. I want to, in facing my own giants, facing the giants we have, I want to be able to be scared but still act. Be scared but still move forward. I love it when she looks and goes, I'm an empowered woman. I am a strong princess. I need no knight to come rescue me. And she just takes on that dragon. I love it. So I want to be her. So we're going to go, and I'm going to put some scripture up on the screen. If you've got your Bibles with you, or you want to use your phone Bible or whatever, we don't freak out about phones here. You can do that. Or there are Bibles in the pew rack. And turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Because this week and next, we're going to be there in a story that everybody knows. A story that everybody knows, David and Goliath. The legend, the story of what happened with David and Goliath. So I'm going to be putting scripture on the screen, but I'm not going to be reading it word by word. That's going to be your responsibility. While I'm talking and kind of pointing out the key things, we'll do it that way, okay? And we're going to wade into this. 1 Samuel 17. You got there? There we go. So here's what's happening here. You've got the Philistines. Philistines are warmongers. They are known for being on the attack. They are known for moving in. You know, they're moving in and trying to advance their territory. And so there they are. They're always starting trouble. They're aggressive, warmongering people. And they're in the southwest of Israel. Okay, between the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River. If you are a geography person, you know what that means. Until I visited Israel, I had no idea. I think I moved the year we did geography in school. I'm pretty sure. Because Robin will be like, well, it's right next to Utah. I'll be like, Utah is next to New Jersey? What? So anyway, there they are. And so here's the scene according to this scripture. There are two armies camped on each side of a dry riverbed. Okay? They're both camped up at the top. And when it would come time, you'll see in scripture, when it would come time for them to face each other, they would come down the hill so that they could start making noise and facing each other and yelling at each other. But no army wanted to be the ones to cross that dry bed and fight this way. Why? You're fighting an uphill battle, right? So nobody wants to be the one to be like, I'm going to advance and we're going to fight up. Okay? So here they are in that stand. Let's keep going. And as you read here, here is Goliath. He is the Philistine champion, which means he's an experienced warrior. He's a fighter who has won many battles. So what scripture tells us is that he was over 9 feet tall. Now, I want to be honest with you here, in case you're like a skeptic. The Dead Sea Scrolls and the Greek say that he's only about 7 feet tall. Some people go and look and say, see, Bible contradicts itself. Contradicts itself. Well, some of you look at Scott and you go, he's 220 pounds. And some of you go, he's about 240 pounds. Right? And just still big. I'm not 240 pounds. But you're still getting the idea across of this guy's big. This guy is huge. All right? So there he is. He's a big dude. And look at what he's carrying. He's carrying 125 pounds of his bronze, that male stuff that you can't penetrate. It's almost like fish scales laid on top of each other. And it weighs 125 pounds. He's got a big javelin on his shoulder. He's got a spear, and the shaft of the spear weighs about 15 pounds. And he's got an armor bearer who goes by his side and helps carry the other armor that he has. So he has all that. When I go and I photograph an event, when I would do weddings or when I was photographing, doing marketing work for the fair a couple weeks, I have a leather harness that's on. Some of you have seen me wear it. It has little clips that go on each side that fasten to my camera. And I have probably normally about 12 pounds of camera on this side and probably 8 pounds of camera on this side. This side might get to be 20 pounds if I have my giant lens on it and need that. But here I am. I've got this on me. And I'm walking around. So what do we got? Math? Did you do the math? I didn't. So we're looking at, say, 28 pounds. Do you know that at the end of the day, I am cooked? I'm like going home going, oh, my back hurts. I can't do this. I can't do that. The next day, I'm like, oh, it hurts. It hurts. I had to go through physical therapy every year when I was shooting weddings. And my physical therapist told me, I have a lot of photographers. You know why? Because we pick up the camera like this. And we pull this little labrum muscle. I had to get physical therapy for 12 pounds. But this guy, he's carrying all of this weight, and then he has his caddy with more stuff. It's basically a caddy. I mean, that's what it seems to be to me. Okay, let's keep going on. Painting the scene. So here's what this big champion does. This big, cocky jerk who is used to never losing, he comes down every day to the riverbed and he taunts them. He taunts them. And I look at the words of how he taunts them and I just laugh. He's like, you guys, you're only the servants of King Saul. You're like nothing. Come on, pick somebody to come fight with me, and then we don't have to fight. If your guy wins, we're all set. Right? Your guy wins, you take over. But if I win, we take over. And so I was doing my research. I found out that was a fairly common way of battle. Sometimes they would do that and be like, rather than have all of us slaughter each other, let's just have two guys go at it and see who wins. Then what would happen? The losers would try to run away as quick as they could before they got enslaved, and the others would pursue them. So anyway, he offers them a deal, and then it really shakes them up. This is spooky season. Here it is. They're scared. They're scared. So here we have this part. This kid. Some say he's about 19 years old, not old enough to serve in the army yet. 19 years old, shepherd, showing up. He's not armed or anything. He's basically being an errand boy to go and bring food and stuff and tribute to the leadership and everything. That's his job. He's supposed to run back and forth and give his daddy a report of how his sons are doing. That's David, this little guy, okay? He's nobody's scared of him. He's not a threat. Now, for 40 days, every morning and night, 40 days, evening and morning, do you notice that in the Bible, 40 appears a lot? It appears so often that people who are studying and know the whole numbers and stuff like that say that 40 is God's symbol, God's way of saying this is a time of trial, a time of probation. 40 days. Some argue that it's a literal 40 days. Others argue that it's symbolic for meaning a long time. To me, it doesn't really matter because the story doesn't change for me if it's 42 days or 36 days, okay? And some people will focus on that number and be like, need to find the secret meaning of 40. If you do 40 and 40 and 40 times 7, and there's 7 over here and 132, and you add that all together and divide by 6 and get to here, it comes out to October 15, 2023. And so that means, and you're like, and the aliens go, there's more proof there's no intelligence there. The numerologists are looking for the hidden meaning, but what scripture is there's so much in the plain that if we just focus on that, that's enough. Alistair Begg, what does he say, Greg?
The main things are the plain things,
and the plain things are the main things. So many times we as Christians are going, what's the secret meaning here? What does this mean and that mean? So if you want to get into that, the 40s, here, take a picture of the screen and just look up these verses. These are common ones we know, right? Of the times 40 happens, 40 days, 40 nights, and Moses 40 years in the desert tending his flocks after killing and being in Egypt, and then Moses on Mount Sinai again for 40 days, and Israelites wandering for 40 years. And so I see from the number of cameras, you don't really care. All right, good. That's fine with me. That's fine with me. Oh, Greg's pulling out his camera. Here we go. That's fine with me because we're going to know that the plain things, the main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. But it's okay to be like, oh, I just want to look at this trend of 40 and how many times it goes. How many days was Jesus tempted? You know, 40. Okay, we look and we know that. We know the time that when Jesus, between his resurrection and his ascension, was 40 days. So if you're kind of like, oh, I wanna see that, okay. So the plain thing here in this scripture that we're looking at is that there's an unrelenting, constant, always present giant who is a jerk, taunting. That's a plain thing, all right? Exactly like our giants. What? We got giants? Yeah, we have giants, right? It's like our giants that we're facing, and whether it's a diagnosis, whether it's fear over this, whether it's looking and saying, my marriage is in trouble and it needs to be fixed, but I don't dare to bring it up. Whether it's addiction, whatever it is, we face our giants. We face our giants the same way. And those giants meet us morning and evening. Morning and evening. And every time I see my giants, remember, as I'm talking to you, you're just listening along as I'm talking to myself. It's not that I've figured everything out and my giants are all gone. I've shared with you my giants right now that I'm wrestling with. right? And so we all have those giants, so that scripture that talks about this 40 days with him taunting, and then David enters the story. He's checking on his brothers, right? The scripture that you're reading now, here he is, checking on his brothers, talking to them, getting the skinny, bring back to dad, how's it going? They're explaining things, he's going through, and all of a sudden this giant comes walking up to do his thing. Giant does his thing. Hey! Hey, wimpos! Hey, losers! Hey, people who can't do anything right. I don't know. Plug in the words of your giant. Plug in the words of your giant that taunt you. That's what he's doing. He's taunting them again. And David, the little, scrawny, errand boy, shepherd boy, asks, who is this pagan? If you're using the King James, he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who does he think he is? You guys, all the Israelites are like, there he is again. Oh no. Worried about it. Nobody stepping forward. Scrawny little David. Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed, that you guys are allowing him to defy, to insult, to stand in front, to challenge the armies of the living God? Why are you letting this insignificant giant to stand in your way? Have you forgotten how God fights for us? Have you forgotten all the times God comes through? That's what he's saying in this. He's saying to these people who have for 40 days been scared, 40 days allowing the giant to taunt, 40 days letting this go on and on, the scrawny little shepherd boy is giving them a little bit of a dress down. Little bit of the dress down. See, I picture David coming to me, facing my latest giant of anxiety and worry and fear of my cancer and the surgery coming up. You know, guy said, just like you, whatever they are, we all know, don't go visit Dr. Google. We all know that, right? This week, I went visiting Dr. Google again and read accounts of things lasting a year and then coming back and all this stuff, because nobody posts the good stuff. The people who have the good stuff, they don't have time. They just go on with life. I feel bad about that in my liver transplant, because for about the year before, the year after, I was part of a support group. And I haven't really contributed to that support group in over a year now. To be able to say to people who are facing that giant, hey, I faced him. My God faced him. And so we do that same thing. And I picture David coming in and looking at me and going, Scott, are you kidding me? Why are you allowing this giant to defy and minimize your God, who has made so many promises to be with you, to give you strength? Remember last week when we talked about enduring anything? I've learned to be content no matter what the circumstance. I've endured all of these things. I can do all things through Christ. And then he immediately went out and won the Super Bowl. No. He was talking about the life and going on and pressing on for Christ. So here's David saying, why are you remembering the bad stuff instead of remembering the good stuff? I don't know why, but each of us does that. So, like the most annoying shows you watch, this used to happen much more. You people who are, you know, younger than 40, you don't understand. You don't understand these words. To be continued. We grew up with to be continued. You would be like a Thursday night watching your show, getting to the point, and then it'd be like, to be continued. And you went, no. And you had to wait a whole week to see what happened. Now we're like, I really should go to bed, but one more episode. Binge, binge, binge. We're like, I don't even start a show until it's complete. Right? I can't be doing that. Well, we're going to continue this story next week. I'm leaving you at the place where David has come in. The giant is in position, and David is saying, why are you guys letting this go on? And the king hears that David is stirring things up. So he calls him. I need to meet with this kid, see what he's talking about. And so we're going to find out. Here's some homework for you. I want you to read 1 Samuel 17 this week. I want you to compare your giant to the giantness of God. That giant, that little giant, that Philistine, in comparison to the living God, he's a speck. He's so small. So, we're going to find, and we're going to build on this next week, that we need to size up our giants in comparison to God, not us. The closing hymn that we're going to sing, and Ed and Victoria are going to come, was written about 500 years ago. Written about 500 years ago by Martin Luther. Okay? He was fairly important in the whole thing of us being where we are today. He was very important. But for 500 years, singing this song that's a paraphrase of Psalm 46. Now, it had language in it from 500 years ago that we're not real, you know, privy to. Privy? How many people say privy? Well, we're not really up on. So, Victoria said privy. Good, good. So this closing hymn, there's a word, a bulwark. He's a bulwark. What? What's a bulwark? It's a defense. It's like a wall that is unbreakable. It is something that protects and is solid. So when you see that and sing that, that's what it means. So that we go in and we see that the giant is real. Number one, my giant's real. Your giant's real. He's there. You're going to have some people in your life that say, ah, that's not a problem. Don't even think about it. That's not realistic. We can't live in denial. We've got to face that giant. All right. So we're going to sing. I want you to think about your giant. The second thing we're going to see is that David took steps to deal with it. He took steps to deal with it. He has stopped running. Move toward it. Make the appointment. It's scary to make the appointment. I remember making the appointment when I need to talk to somebody. I didn't want to. I was like, people are going to think I'm crazy, man. And I need a shrink, and then all those shrink jokes, and then all that. It was hard to make the appointment. But take the step, move toward it. Move toward the solution. Go to that first AA meeting. Do it. Walk toward it. Have the conversation. Break the silence. We're going to see that we need to speak to it and tell it what's going to happen. That we're going to speak to that giant and remind it who our God is. We are reminded of the promises of God. And lastly, we're going to follow through. We're going to continue to follow through on this process. You're going to see next week when David finishes off the giant. Oh, gee, I just gave you a spoiler. Oh, does anybody not know that? Yeah, he's going to finish off the giant. So we follow through. So as you're going about this week, I want you to notice, since it's spooky season, I want you to notice how many giants, skeletons, are out on the lawns. And when you see them, I want them to trigger you to go, dead giant. Another dead giant. Another dead giant. Dead giant. Because in my life, through these 60 years, I can point back to a number of dead giants that God took care of. I wish I would just be like having no fear with this giant I'm facing right now. But just like that little girl in the blue dress, here come the dragon. Wait a minute. I am a child of the King, the Most High. I'm going to have at him. Yeah! And go at him. You guys, let's sing. A mighty fortress is our God. Lord, as we leave this place, as we face our giants, might we have that courage, that faith of David to stand in and say, my God will deliver me. Lord, I pray as we pass things through the next 2 weeks, as we see those big old skeletons, the spooky skeletons, Lord, that they would remind us in our own lives of all the giants that you have slain, all the times you have come through on your promises. Let us just remember your faithfulness. Lord, I pray you give each of us courage. Courage to begin taking the steps to face the giant with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, guys.